Good morning, everyone. This is Candace from Autism One Radio. Today, my guest is Christy Sepulveda Burchett, and she's with EducateAdvocateCalifornia.com. And last week, a couple weeks ago, I had interviewed Christina from A Voice for Choice, and we had talked about SB 277 and how our children were not affected under SB 277 that had an IEP. So Christy contacted me and said there is some concern. Good morning, Christy. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Thank you for clearing this up for us. Can you just go on about what's going on in California with the SB 277 and the IEP child in school?
Oh, definitely. So SB 277, the way that it was written and amended, was supposed to cover children who are on an IEP, no issues with them going to school. Essentially, they were supposed to be exempt. But the wording that was added to SB 277, which I can read for you, was a little, it was vague. It wasn't clear. It wasn't in black and white. Did you want me to read this for you?
Yeah, because when I read it, it seemed very clear to me, and I even shared that with the admin at school, and they didn't have any problem with it. Yeah, will you just read that under SB 277?
Yeah, it's Section H, and it says, this section does not prohibit a pupil who qualifies for an individualized education program pursuant to federal law in Section 56026 of the Education Code from accessing any special education and related services required by his or her individualized education program. So essentially what's happening here, and this isn't in all school districts, so I want to make that clear. It's open to interpretation and how they decide to interpret this. So for instance, you know, on our website, if you go to sb277iep.com, you can see cases where they've gone to due process. And in one, there was a Long Beach case where a student was thriving in an art-styled school in general education, and the student was not an IEP. And the school district, because of the vaccine status of the child on an IEP, decided to offer them in their IEP home hospital, where essentially that's for very medically fragile children, where someone comes to your home, a teacher comes to your home like once a week, very few hours, and you're isolated. You're not able to be around your peers or anything like that. So this parent filed for due process, and the court case is on there. It's a great, only a couple-page court case, and basically the judge said, no, that's not right. The student needs to go back to their school in the general education program. So there's been other cases, too, where the school district has offered like a charter school, like a home school type of situation, or a school where they're isolated among all of the kids who are on an IEP that are, you know, because of their vaccine status, so they're not able to go to a school campus with the other kids. That's sounds like clear-cut discrimination to me. So that's the kind of thing that has been existing. And the bottom line is, in some cases, in some school districts, the family has been faced with two choices. Either you can go to due process, which is a very costly thing. You're going in front of a judge. You have to get an attorney. And it's a timely thing. It takes a long amount of time because that's the time your student's going to be out of school, so that's not something that's doable for families. So that's one option. There's only been a couple cases that we know of that have gone through. They're both on our website, sb277iep.com. The other option, which is what the vast amount of students on an IEP have done, is they have pursued getting a medical exemption. And that is why definitely this new bill, SB 276, students on an IEP are definitely impacted by that bill, because many of them have had to get medical exemptions. So I just wanted to make that clear to the listeners that students on an IEP are definitely impacted. On our website, educateadvocateca.com, we have a page for all things SB 276, including our opposition letter, our opposition letter to this bill goes over this in great detail, how students on an IEP have been impacted by SB 277 and how they are impacted definitely by SB 276. So that's what I wanted to make clear on the call today.
Now let's go ahead and let our listeners know that there were two cases that went to due process, and
yes,
both times the judge was in favor of the student.
That's correct. So they're both.
As Christy said, it's all up to interpretation, even though it seemed very cut and dry to me, and I shared it with our administrators at school, and they didn't give me any trouble.
Yeah, and like I said, in my district, in my particular district and around me, I educated the heck out of them. So there has been no issues in this area, in my area that I'm aware of, because I really took a lot of time before the law was implemented. But other districts, it has not been so fortunate across the state. And, yes, there have been two cases that we know of, one in Long Beach, which I detailed before, and the other one in Chino. And they're both on SB277IEP.com, which is a part of our Educate Advocate website. And so to repeat, the websites are SB277IEP.com is the first one, and that's on the Educate Advocate website. And the second one is on EducateAdvocateCA.com for California. And you can see there both the tab for SB 277 IEP and SB 276. And all of our opposition letters, including the appropriations hearing that was heard on Monday, the 13th of May, our fiscal report on that, as well as the testimony that occurred that day, are on the website, along with the opposition letter detailing the discrimination that has been faced by students on an IEP on this issue, on SB 276, as well as SB 277, for some students, many students that are on an IEP across California.
Now let's so just educate our listeners, just in case they don't know. So SB 277 was the bill that Senator Pan wrote and got passed that all California students have to be fully vaccinated to go to school. That's SB 277. Now,
right.
Can you tell us the general writing for SB 276? What does it have to do with medical exemptions?
Okay, so SB 276 essentially is taking away the doctor-patient relationship, because now, the way it's written right now, is that the exemption would have to be approved by a public health officer in the California Department of Public Health. And the other second part of it is that they would be judging that based on CDC contraindications and precautions rather than based on family medical history, which, of course, family medical history under 277, it was expanded, the medical exemption being that it was the last exemption available in California. We were told again and again that it was so important that there was going to be a strong and robust medical exemption. And now through SB 276, that's trying to be cut down to CDC contraindications and precautions, which is a very small list.
And if you had a seizure from, say, the chickenpox vaccine, you would still be required to get the MMR.
Right. So if you have a reaction.
And even if you did have a seizure, you'd still have to get that chickenpox vaccine, because that's not exempt.
That's not a CDC contraindication and precaution. That's not under.
They're
at a very limited list. And it's only limited to the vaccine where you had the CDC contraindication or precaution. So, yeah, it's a bad situation, and because that means that many of the medical exemptions, of course, are going to be denied from this point forward, because they're going to go through a public health officer with the California Department of Public Health, as opposed to your physician you go to writing an exemption. And the main talking point that Senator Pan has been using in the media is that there are these fraudulent medical exemptions and that doctors are, unscrupulous doctors are selling them. And as we discussed during the hearing, which the testimony that was done on behalf of Educate Advocate is again on our website, the whole testimony that was done on Monday the 13th. And as was detailed in the testimony, there have been over, I think it was 153 investigations on doctors on medical exemptions since SB 277 passed, and not one has been brought forward with charges of fraud, of a fraudulent medical exemption. The only one that was brought forward was for Dr. Spears, and that wasn't a medical exemption. It was based on a custody case. So that wasn't even in the realm of being anything having to do with fraudulent medical exemption, and he didn't do anything fraudulent. It was a custody issue. So that talking point is completely false that he, that Senator Fan has. There
and
has
I
been
have
no
a problem with the privacy issue. Now, I don't want my school district sharing my medical records with county health, and I actually filed a complaint with the United States Department of Education 2 years ago because they violated my daughter's privacy by sending her medical exemption directly over to county health after I had specifically asked them not to, and I even got it in writing. They signed the paper where I insisted that they not send it. They signed it, they dated it, and they did it anyway. So that is still pending. I believe we have a right to privacy, and I'll keep fighting. And several months ago, if not a year ago, President Trump put up a complaint process on Department of Health and Human Services. If you believe your conscientious belief was violated, like people that have to give abortions, people that, well, I believe my conscientious belief was violated with SB 277 along with every other person in California. So
right.
I'm going to go ahead and follow through with that, and I'm urging all of our listeners to do the same. Have you taken any action towards that, Christy, or do you know of anybody that has?
Yeah, I personally have sent a letter of complaint to that department, and I also went to San Francisco and discussed it with them as well in person. And what I followed up with them recently, just a couple months ago, and what I was told is that they are still in the process of trying to determine whether or not vaccines essentially fall under this domain. So it's, whether it's something they can help to investigate on or not. So that's all up in the air. I think the intended thing was just as you said, Trump was more thinking it was for abortion rather than vaccines. So it's yet to be determined whether or not they will actually pursue investigating and assisting families with the vaccine issue. And so they've put that in writing to me. So I can say that. But yeah, you bring up another good point about the database. So yeah, there are definitely concerns about the database. And like I said, in our letter of opposition, we detail some of those concerns with the database and the concerns that we have there as well. So yeah, I encourage people to read our letter of opposition that went out to all legislators, both in the Assembly and the Senate. And so they have it as a very detailed letter. And as is the fiscal report that was done and the testimony that's on there that was from Monday, the 13th. And so just to update you on SB 276, so it came out of suspense yesterday, the 16th, and some amendments were mentioned, but we don't have those in written form, so we definitely shouldn't be trying to guess what they are because they're not in writing yet, and they're not in writing today, which is Friday, the 17th of May. So potentially they could be up on Monday, but, you know, we don't know yet. So we don't know what that language is going to look like as far as amendments to SB 276, but it will be on the Senate floor, we can say, with certainty, and it will be on the Senate floor before the 31st of May. So that's kind of the timeline here of what we have to look forward to, and it will go over to the Assembly if it passes the Senate floor. So to do some committees there. So that's kind of the timeline on SB 276. So we just need to
would
get involved.
Would that be the last Assembly?
Yeah, so how it will work is it will go over to the Assembly Rules Committee, and then they'll determine which committee or committees that it goes to. And then it'll, so it'll go to, you know, committees then, and then to their appropriation side as well. And then if they make changes, it'll go back to the Senate after the full Assembly vote. And the Senate will vote again, and then it'll go off to the governor. And, you know, that's if it goes through all the steps. Then it'll go off to the governor for veto or for signature. And so that's kind of the process of how it is going to work.
For me, there's kind of an elephant in the room that nobody's talking about. And I'm pretty sure that if Pan gets this passed, his next bill will be mandates for children that are homeschooled. Now, this is speculation, but this is what, given his track record, I can see where this is going. And if that is the case, we will have to leave California for good. Well, at least until our kids graduate high school. But I see this coming, and I think it should be on everybody's radar. And they should
prepare. Yeah, so, I don't know that it would be homeschoolers next. They have a pretty good lobby organizations connected to them, you know, that have a really good history in California. Well-respected. They were able to get some headway during 277 because, remember, they were originally included. And the homeschool bills that tried to go through last year pretty easily died, you know, in the Assembly. So I don't know that it would be homeschoolers that he would strategically go after next. I don't know that I agree with that. But you could be right.
Well, I hope so, because I'm actually quite hopeful that we're going to turn all of this around. So
my instinct would honestly be my instinct has been that it would be the ones that don't have a lobbyist, and that's children with special needs. So my thinking is that he would go after any kind of people that are on any kind of services, regional center, IHSS, Social Security, Medi-Cal. You know, that's all of our children who have special needs. That would be the easiest group to pick at because we don't have any lobbyists that are helping us out.
Right,
the
and there's lots of poor people that get food stamps that are, they don't have a choice.
Right, so that would be the easiest group to attack next. You know,
so your bottom line for your opposition letter is discrimination. These kids are being discriminated against. So,
yes.
Thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you.
We have our Autism One conference coming up, starting on the 22nd of May, going through the 26th. And so we are all on our way out of town. We're packing our bags and we're getting ready. And it's going to be a huge, major, fun event. It's going to be very busy. And I'm really looking forward to it. So we'll be broadcasting live from Autism One. So look for us on social media.
Great.
And I want to thank you so much for your time today. And maybe I can get you in a couple weeks, and we can talk about SB 276.
Yeah, talk about where it is at that point. That sounds good.
So educateadvocatecalifornia.com. SB277IEP.com. Thank you so much for your time today, Christy. Be well.
Thanks, Candace.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.